Across the line on Tip FM with Thurles Credit Union, offering a comprehensive suite of loans at exceptionally keen rates. Apply today at thurlescu.ie.
And welcome along to another edition of Across the Line with me, Shane Brophy, your Friday evening build-up to the sporting weekend in the Premier County. And on tonight's show, we have another busy show over the next hour or so, building up primarily to the weekend's quarterfinals in the FPD Insurance County Senior and Intermediate Football Championships. We'll hear from the Lochmore Castellania and Kilsheila Kilcash camps ahead of the Marquee quarterfinal on Saturday in the Senior Championship between both clubs, which will be live here on Tip FM. We'll preview the games in the company of Aero, Ganacarty and Tipperary stalwart Brian Fox, who will also give us his thoughts on tomorrow's special Congress vote on the restructuring of the Football Championship. We'll look ahead to the semi-finals of the Club Ladies Football Championships with Tony Smith, and we'll have the local soccer and rugby fixtures for the weekend, and as ever we'll wrap up the show by talking dogs with Barry Drake ahead of this weekend's meetings in Clonmel and Thurles and the final of the Irish Laurels in Cork. So all that and more over the next 55 minutes or so, so why not stay tuned. And first of all, I'd like to thank Paul Carroll and Stephen Gleeson for minding the fort of the last two Friday nights. Definitely been a change of scene for me over the last 2 weeks with the arrival of my first son Cormac into the world on the 11th of October. So, mum and son are doing great, and I wouldn't say I'm refreshed after the 2 week break, but I'm definitely understanding what people say about lack of sleep and enjoying the rest time when it comes. So hopefully I won't be yawning over the next hour or so. But we'll move quickly on to the sporting action of the weekend, beginning with Gaelic football and the quarterfinals of the FPD Insurance County Senior, Tom Cusick, and the Intermediate Football Championships. The live game on Tip FM this weekend is tomorrow afternoon's senior quarterfinal clash between Kilsheila Kilcash and Lochmore Castellania in Cashel at 3:30. A game which will be brought to you by Jim Scrang and Sons Puget Dealers in Kilsheila. Paul Jenkins will be in the commentary box, joined by former Tipperary ladies football captain Samantha Lambert. First of all, we'll hear from both camps, starting with Lochmore Castellania's John Maher, who spoke with our own Stephen Gleeson this week, and he began by asking about another exciting time for the club as they're once again in the business end of both the senior hurling and football championships.
Yeah, very exciting. It's great to be playing in all the big games there at the moment. We've won every weekend for the last few weekends. So, yeah, Kilsheila this weekend, they'll be a big test too.
Yeah, how's it been going mixing the two? I mean, you've been doing it for a few years, so I suppose you're used to it. But how are you finding the run this year?
Yeah, it's probably longer than it has been other years. I think this will be our 12th weekend on the trot, which is tough. But it's very enjoyable, and the training that we've been doing midweek has been, you know, minimal enough. You're just trying to flush out the legs and have yourself primed to go again for the following weekend. So, you know, you're trying to play games, and we're getting big games every single weekend, pretty much since we started, I suppose, nearly 3 months ago with the mid-championship, and then we were into the group stages at hurling and football. So it's tough at times, but we've been lucky enough, touch wood, with injuries, and hopefully that will continue. So if you can stay injury free, it's very enjoyable, because as a player, you just want to be playing games.
Yeah. And you had a tough run of injuries there a few years ago. You went in with the Tip footballers for a couple of years, just got that time, you know, into your game, and the hurling last year, I suppose. So like you've had a good run now, which it must be really refreshing after suffering for so long.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it makes you appreciate it all the more as well. I was bound with injuries there for a few years, and it can be very frustrating. You feel you're never fully playing to your potential or playing the way that you might be able. So when you get a bit of an extended run without injuries, and you're able to get loads of games into it, you appreciate it all the more, and you kind of don't take it for granted anymore. So I haven't had any major injuries in over the last few years, and I'm just really enjoying my hurling and football now at the moment. So, like I said, I don't take it for granted. The fact that I had all the injuries, it makes you appreciate it all the more. So I'm really enjoying it at the moment.
John, you're living locally now. You were commuting, but you're living at home in Thurles, and you're teaching out in Lochmore in the parish.
I am, yeah. Yeah, I'm lucky enough to be teaching locally and living locally, and it makes it an awful lot easier when you don't have to travel for training. Some of the guys that were traveling from Dublin and Cork and different places, I don't know how they do it. But yeah, I'm lucky enough, and I'm in a fantastic school there in Lochmore, and they're all getting buzzed up about all the big games as well at the moment. So it's good to see the excitement firsthand there as well.
Yeah, so do you get that on a Monday morning? They're all talking about the match.
I do, yeah. They all have their own opinion on the performance of the team and my performances as well. So it can be good and bad, but I get honest reviews every Monday, which is good, I suppose.
Brilliant stuff. And like to be in a school like that, I suppose, you're in the heart of the parish. You're in the GAA, you're in the school, you know, I mean, you're there, like, you meet a lot of people, I suppose. So that's something that's you probably have a better sense of things than someone that is traveling nonstop during the week just to make training.
Yeah, absolutely. I do, I suppose. I see it firsthand what it means to people in the parish. And I suppose even massively last year when we had the lockdown, and you could see how much it meant to people, I suppose, to have something positive to talk about. And when we were playing big games every weekend and winning a lot of them, thank God, it was just giving people something different to talk about, and it was putting a smile on people's faces. So yeah, I suppose you can forget at times how much it means to the people of the parish. But yeah, the people of Lochmore and Castellini, it means everything to them, and they're fantastic supporters. And they've been there for us and with us through thick and thin. So it's a nice reminder to see how much it means to them all, and to kind of gives you that extra push to kind of what you want to do it for yourself and for the team and for your family. But it's nice to think of them as well, and you're doing it for your parish too.
Lochmore Castellini's John Maher speaking with Stephen Gleeson. And I suppose Lochmore are held up as the poster club in terms of being able to compete in both hurling and football at a very, very high level. But certainly Cashel and Kincashir entering that bracket at the moment, senior football quarter finalists, and also are in an intermediate hurling semi final next weekend against Moneygall. And Stephen also got the view of Cashel's Bill Maher as a step into uncharted waters of being still in the business end of the hurling and football championships.
It's been a great few weeks for us anyway. It's kind of uncharted waters for us, this particular Cashelan panel, to be gone this far into the year. So we're really enjoying it. So, and hopefully it goes on for another couple of weeks.
Yeah, you're going well in the hurling as well. And to top your group in football is a huge achievement.
Yeah, I suppose at the start of the year, I was probably the main objective was we felt that we have a decent panel, both hurling and football. A lot of players cross over and play both. So we thought that to have any chance, we're going to need to top the groups and maybe get that. There was a week off in the middle, and, you know, get that week off to recharge the batteries. It's much the same as St. Mary's and Commercials and Lochmore and Kilnall and Upper Church. It's a good few teams doing it, but we really made a push for that top spot in the group stages.
Yeah, and you got off to a good show, and I suppose in a lot of people's eyes, you're a team that is capable of pushing the likes of Lochmore and Commercials and Mile Rovers, but you just have to get the wins under your belt, and that's easier said than done, I suppose. So it is step by step, and you're just making progress, I suppose.
Yeah, as I said, it's uncharted waters for us. A lot of young guys in the squad. We've a pretty young average age, so unfortunately I'm one of the older guys now, so it's good for them to be on these kind of runs where you're playing against top players and you're mixing with the best teams in the county. So like it's only going to improve us going forward. We're nowhere near the finished article, or we're a long ways off it, but it's all these games are just going to improve us.
Yeah, it's going to be huge. It's great to be in the knockout stages of the championship. Cashel is a great venue for the crowd. And like, I'm sure it's an atmosphere that you're going to relish, really, taking on, you know, a formidable Lochmore Castellini team.
Yeah, exactly. Getting to a knockout stage in any competition is tough, but especially senior football in Tipperary, we haven't been there that often. So the last couple of years, maybe we've been in one or two, but we'd like to be there every year. So that's the goal. And again, we're under no illusions of how strong Loughmore are. They're the, in my mind, it's they're between themselves and Commercials. They were the county finalists last year, and it's true to form, they're the two best teams in the county. So, you know, it's obviously they've so much experience, skill. They're a great team to watch. They have everything. So, you know, we have a lot of inexperienced players. So, this game should hopefully bring them on. Whether win or we lose, it'll hopefully make us a better team.
Kilchila Kilcash's Bill Maher speaking with Stephen Gleeson ahead of tomorrow's County Senior Football Quarter Final against Loughmore Castellini, our live game here on Tip FM at 3:30, and also the live stream game on the Tipperary GAA website. After a break, we'll speak with Irogan and Carty's Brian Fox as we look ahead in depth to both quarter finals as well as tomorrow's Congress vote on football championships. Stay tuned. And you're very welcome back to Across the Line, and I'm joined on the line by Irogan O'Carty and Tipperary footballer Brian Fox to have a look ahead to this weekend's action on and off the field. Brian, you're welcome to the show.
Hi Shane, how are you doing?
Good to have you along, Brian. And just before we look at the senior football quarterfinals, I know you're in O'Carty, you're still in football action in the Tom Cusack Cup. You're playing Mycarkey Burris on Sunday at 12 o'clock in the Rag. I'm just wondering, in terms of if for a relatively new competition, do you sort of look at it as a glass half full thing? There's a title to be won, or is it glass half empty? It's sort of it's the first stage of relegation. What sort of mindset would the like of Anna Carty have for a competition like this?
I suppose the reality is you can look at it both ways. I suppose we look at it as, number one, you win your first match, you're no longer looking at relegation. And number two, obviously the carrot then, that if you win it, you're in a semi-final of a competition. In the grand scheme of things, I suppose it guarantees us two extra games of football, and for the development of football in Tipperary, you know, we need all senior clubs and intermediate clubs and stuff like that playing more matches. And you know, this initiative was brought in a few years ago to try and increase the amount of matches teams were playing, because obviously, you know, there was a lot of situations where there was walkovers and stuff like that happening when teams couldn't make a quarter final. So it's trying to improve that side of it. So look, we're looking forward to it. We think, you know, as a club, we'd like to see ourselves going for a Tom Cusack Cup and have a realistic chance of winning it. But, you know, if we're not on our game, we'll be looking at relegation. We don't want to be back there after last year.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And I'll just quickly go through those fixtures in the Tom Cusack Cup. On Saturday, the quarter final is Arevale Rovers against Rockwell Rovers in Dundrum at 3:30. And then three games on Sunday, Irogan O'Carty Donohill against Mycarkey Burris at the Rag at 12 o'clock, Killinall against Kerr and Feathered at 1 o'clock, and Aherlow against Boyne Temple Toohey in New Inn at 3:30. But I suppose we have you along primarily to talk about the senior football quarter finals, and we'll go through them in order. I suppose the big one, 3:30 tomorrow, Kilchila Kilcash against Loughmore Castellini. Nearly Kilchielan becoming a mirror of Loughmore in terms of the dual aspect, Kilchielan in an intermediate hurling semi-final next weekend. But I suppose, look, Kilchielan probably have, Loughmore have tended to be their nemesis maybe in recent years in group stages and in knockout stages. So I think if Kilchielan are able to get through Loughmore this weekend, they'll probably feel they have a great chance of going the whole way.
Oh yeah, definitely. It's probably the standout clash in my mind this week is the Kilchielan Loughmore game. I suppose Kilchielan obviously topped our group, and like, they have a lot of good footballers. They've had essentially a 2-week break as well, you know. Mm-hmm. So they've had the opportunity to rest up bodies, which is a huge thing, I think, because games are so coming so thick and fast. Like, you know, we played 7 weeks on the bounce and we had a break last weekend, and I was thinking, like, Kilchielan rested for a few big guns for against us in the last group game because they were already qualified as top, you know, so they can go away and think and plan for the quarterfinals, you know, whereas Loughmore have probably had such a run of it, like, in terms of they've had to keep going. They got preliminary quarterfinal in the hurling, so their reserves might be down a small bit, but having said that, Loughmore, the team they are, you know, they love playing matches week on week, and they just seem to rise to the occasion. It's going to be a really interesting game now, I must say.
Yeah, and like you have your both teams loaded with talent, I suppose. Loughmore, if they hadn't so many guys with the tip hurlers, they probably would be in with you with the footballers. And even that, you have John Maher and Lee McGrath, who would have been in there previously. And like Kilchielan, like, I suppose you have even from Evan Comerford and Grohl right down to Brendan Martin and even some of the impressive under 20s there this year. I think it's a big signpost game, I think, for Kilsheelan.
Yeah, I think like they have a lot of young lads coming through. They had a few lads involved with the county under 20s this year that got to a Munster final. And every year, last year they got to a county semi-final, got beat by Commercials and got beat relatively easy, I suppose, in the end. So like they're looking to try and get to that stage again, obviously to be county semi-final, and to be saying, right, we're there, thereabouts this year. And I think that's Kilsheelan's aim. And I know they're chasing glory in both hurling and football, but football, they're a senior, so I would imagine that's their priority. And they have a lot of quality because, Bale, Evan, then you have Paul and Martin. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of good players as well. Darragh Brennan, Mark Stokes, and then the young lads. So they're a very balanced team, very fit team, and they cause Loughmore a lot of problems, I suppose, with their running.
Mm-hmm. If you were to call it, is it still Loughmore's experience might shade it, or I think it's a very hard run to call.
Yeah, it'd possibly come down to, I'd like to say how Loughmore do on Kilsheelan's kickouts. I think that could be a huge factor. Loughmore have Liam McGrath back. I think he's a huge advantage to Loughmore having an extra score because Conor Ryan has been responsible for most of their scores. And Conor Ryan, he doesn't miss much now, in fairness, and he's been in with us for the last year and a half in the county setup. And he's a phenomenal athlete and a very good footballer. But he probably has been taking a lot of the scoring burden. And having Liam McGrath there could be a huge addition to him, that is it. Kilsheelan are looking at two fellas as opposed to trying to mark Connor out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. That game is alive here on Tip FM tomorrow at 3:30. And the other quarter final tomorrow at 3:30 is Mile Rovers against Ballyporeen in Ardfinnan. You were in the same group as Ballyporeen. I think you drew with them. I don't think we've seen the best of Mile Rovers yet. So I think if Ballyporeen really produce a big performance, will they have enough to maybe to cause Mile Rovers problems, or how are you looking at this one?
I suppose having played the two teams over the last 12 months, I would be saying Mile Rovers should be winning it. But we played Ballyporeen in very bad conditions over in Banshee there a few weeks ago. The ball was like a bar of soap. I remember the game was finished 9-0, and sure, I would have said Ballyporeen, we actually probably played better than Ballyporeen on the day, but I would have said Ballyporeen had probably more natural footballers than us, and if they get a good day, they could do a lot more damage against a team like us. So I think they had a plan. I know against Mount Temple 2, they improved a lot. They played very well. I was chatting to a few lads who were at the game. We were obviously playing the same day, so we couldn't get to it. But just talking to the lads, I said Ballyporeen played very well. Defensively set up very strong. Broke ball, and then Sweeney does what he does best. He gets on in the moves and he scores. And I don't know, have my Lovers got a fella who can mark Sweeney now that Alan Campbell is gone? He'd be a big loss to my Lovers in terms of organising their defence and just being, the main man marker.
Absolutely. That game, Ardfinnan at 3:30 tomorrow. Third quarter finals on Sunday in Golden at 1:00, JK Brackens against Ardfinnan. Probably we're looking at JK Brackens, I suppose the fact that they won the group with Loughmore, although it was on score difference, that would have been a big boost to them. We can't forget they were county finalists 2 years ago, but I suppose they're going into this one as favourites, and I suppose that's a bit of a burden you have to carry, and it'll be interesting to see how well they carry it.
Yeah, I probably do expect Brackens to win. I think they could fly underneath the radar because they might, they have no personnel really on the inter-county football squad, but they have a very solid team. A lot of lads who have been around, the squad, fellas like Dean McEnroe, Paddy Cadell's off the team with the hurlers, they have plenty of good footballers. And, competing in the mid with Loughmore underage and at senior level, they're the only team that have been competing with Loughmore in that regard and actually have been winning majority of the mid titles. So obviously they have a lot of young lads coming through, and I know Joe Hayes is managing them and involved in them, so he'll have them very well organised. Ardfinnan, now they had a great result against Arvel to qualify. Tom McGlinchey's involved with them, mm-hmm. and Tom will be very organised in how he does that. He spent a bit of time with us a few years ago, so I know what he's about and he'd have his team prepped. So it'll be interesting, but I do expect probably Bracken to have that just a small bit more quality you know, to cause our friend in the bother and try to win it.
Mm-hmm. And the final quarterfinals on Sunday at 3:30 in Borlaghan is Clonmel Commercials, the holders against Upper Church Drumban. I suppose for the second year week in a row, Upper Church ended up, when they get into the quarterfinal of senior hurling, senior football, they ended up drawing the defending champions. And look, I think Clonmel Commercials look like they're strong favourites to retain their title. And but I suppose the fact that maybe they've been lying idle, they got no game from Mike Harkey a couple of weeks ago, that maybe Upper Church might think if we can start strong maybe, and I suppose they're going to have to take a quarter by quarter really, and maybe hopefully from their point of view not allow the game to get away from them.
Yeah, definitely. Like what you said about not playing Mike Harkey, like, see, I suppose a lot of commercial boys aren't playing hurling, better 3 or 4, you know, Barge, Lunigan, Ross, Peters, and Kennedy's, mm-hmm. Seamus, you know, so a lot of them are idle, not playing. Like, you can do all the training you want, but having matches every second week is a huge addition to the, you know, getting your body ready for the physical battle. And, like, the reality is, Upchurch will be very combative. I know, was it last year, or maybe 2 years ago, I can't remember, was it my Rovers only beaten by a pint, you know, in the group stages, that Upchurch really made it a battle, like, you know, and Commercials will find themselves in for a game, and I would imagine that Upper Church will set up relatively defensive to try and stop Commercials getting soft scores and trying to build up a lead, because if they do build up a lead on you, well, and then you have to start coming out and trying to get scores back, well, then you're going to be exposed at the back, you know. And look, Commercials have the footballers all over the pitch who can expose you, so I would imagine Upper Church are going to try and keep the score really tight for the first quarter and try and just be in the game. And, you know, like I said, they are very competitive. Like, we played them this year in senior hurling. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get nothing soft off Upchurch. You know, that's probably their greatest asset, like, is how competitive they are. They're willing to die for every single ball.
Yeah, and I suppose it's the first time they're in a senior football quarter final, and they've nothing to lose. They're raging underdogs that can really go out and have a good go at this. Just before we talk about Congress, we'll just go through the intermediate football quarter finals. The first one is tonight, Galtee Rovers against Mullinahone in New Inn at 7:30. Tomorrow it's Golden Kilfeacal against Drummond Inch in Clonolty at 1:00. JK Brackens against Feathered in Littleton at 3:30, and the final intermediate football quarter final is on Sunday in Care at 3:30, Grange Mochler Ballyneal against Clonolty Ross Moore. I suppose we'll quickly turn our attention, I suppose, to Congress. There's been a lot of chatter, I suppose, about the motions to restructure the championship. And I suppose the reason we asked you, Han, is you're the GPA rep for the Tipperary senior footballers. And I suppose your thoughts, and maybe the thoughts of the playing group within Tipperary, about what's being proposed tomorrow. And it's, I suppose, proposal B, and I suppose in terms of moving the league to the summer is the big one, an offer. I suppose what in terms of what the Tipperary players are hoping for, we know Conor Sweeney has spoken in favour of change, David Power has spoken in favour of change. Is that generally the same view of a lot of the players within the playing group?
Yeah, it would definitely be. We had a good, like, this it's funny, like, you know, a lot of people, the detractors have come out in the last week or two, like, but the reality is this proposal has been out in open circulation for the best part of 6 months. And, you know, we've had, in fairness, all the players from all the counties have had a lot of time to look through it and try and make amendments and, you know, suggestions to it. And I suppose originally myself, I was probably in favour of Proposal A. But, you know, the more I thought about it, like, how unworkable was it to put teams from Leinster into, you know, Munster and Connacht? Like, you know, the reality is the historical element of this would really hinder that. And so it didn't really make Proposal A viable. But Proposal B then, like, I won't say it's perfect, but I definitely think it's better than what is there at the moment. I mean, you take a normal year, we'll call it, and let's say you play your 7 league games and then you have 2 championship matches. Like, you know, that's 9 matches for us if we lost our first round Munster championship match and lost our qualifier game. Whereas you look at Dublin and they get their 7 league matches, they get to a league final, that's 8 matches. They play 3 matches in Leinster, that's 11. Then they play the Super 8s, which was 14, a semi-final and a final, and that's 16 games. And you see the disparity, I suppose, between it, the top teams who are getting so many extra games compared to maybe the bottom teams. And I know people will argue, oh, sure, if you're not winning, you don't deserve to be. But it's if you want to have the same teams at the top all the time, well, then, you know, keep it the same. If you want a team to try and progress, you have to give them more games. And the reality is the teams are playing against teams of their own standard, and if they want to compete in St. Maguire, they have to win and be the best of the team at their standard to get a chance to Maguire. And it means that the following year, as well as obviously getting a chance to Maguire, that in that calendar year, you're in a higher division the following year. So your progress is, you know, double in terms of you get the benefit of being promoted division, up a division, so you're competing against higher or stronger teams. And then you also have your chance of actually having a go at being in the semi-final, provisional quarter-final or preliminary quarter-final or quarter-final. And, you know, when you have momentum after winning games, you don't know what will happen.
Yeah. And I suppose, look, you mentioned Dublin getting 16 games and ordinarily Tipperary would only get maybe 9 in a poor campaign. Like, if Proposal B is carried tomorrow, Tipperary will have a minimum of guaranteed 14 matches next year. You had a 5 in Munster round robin, your 7 league games, and then you're having either an All-Ireland knockout game or a Tailteann Cup game. And you could have more matches in Munster if you get to a knockout stage there. So, like you would think, and then you're playing the Prime League 7 matches in Division 4, unfortunately, where you'll be playing next year in the best weather, April, May and June. Like, so I suppose from a playing point of view, and I suppose we have heard that the GPS said 80% of the players are in favour of this. How engaged would the Tipperary players have been with what's coming? I know some players are not really interested in structures, they just want to play, but how engaged would your teammates have been in this process?
Well, fairly engaged now, in fairness, because as well as obviously getting emails from the GPA, like I suppose my role as rep is to make sure that there's debate about it and any criticism or feedback is, you know, taken on board. So like we'd have a leadership group and certain players would be in the leadership group, would have 4 or 5 players under them where they would liaison with them. So every player in the leadership group then came back and said, right, this not player said A, B, etc. So I would have said Tipperary as a whole would have been very, very invested in it. You know, and I would imagine most counties would, because at the end of the day, if it impacts them, you know, they're going to want to have a say in it. Mm-hmm. You know, it's different about different things, like, you know, the water break, you know, there wouldn't be much thing with players because it doesn't impact us that much in the overall scheme of things. I know people will say, oh, it's got to go or it's got to stay or it's rationale. But when something like this comes in and you say, right, if you were given the chance to play 9 games and you were given the chance to play a minimum of 13 games, before, you know, you progress any further, you know, minimum, you know, players are going to say, peek their ears and say, yeah, geez, I really think I want to have a say in this and have an opinion in this, you know. And look, don't get me wrong, it's not the perfect solution, but it's definitely a step in the right direction, because, you know, if it can be tweaked, it can be improved, they can see what's wrong with it and see, you know, anomalies that can be ironed out, like.
Yeah, and I suppose just finally, like, I suppose at this stage we're thinking that whether it gets to 60% is looking very, very tight at this stage. Like, do you feel a lot of, maybe there'll be players in a lot of counties will be looking at maybe waiting the outcome, and that'll be the determining factor, or maybe whether they're going to go, if they're going to be, if there's a new format next year, they're going to commit. But if it's the same, particularly for maybe lower Division 2 down to Division 4 counties, that they might think, if we're going back to the status quo, maybe it's just not for me.
I read something, I think it was Aidan Marin said it from Sligo. I say the older generation player might and say, like, God, I'm still playing those league matches in the middle of winter, like, you know, February, March, whereas if you're playing them in the summer, like, obviously they're very competitive. The league is very competitive, you know, and that's why I think they're trying to give it its actual thing in the summer. I say a few players might. I wouldn't say overall that a lot of players would say, God, I'm going to throw my hat at it now because, you know, it didn't get through. Mm-hmm. I think, a player's primary motivation is to play for their county because they want to represent their county, no matter what way it comes, you know, because you've got to remember for years, fellas have been doing it anyway and have been, you know, fighting the good fight when they would say, God, why am I bothering? Do you know, they still do it because they want to draw on the jersey, they want to represent their county to their best of their ability.
Yeah, I don't know, would you have spoken to Tom Parsons or the higher echelons of the GPA this week about what they think might happen tomorrow? I'm sure they're probably pushing a lot of delegates as well to try and ensure that vote comes and down inside a Proposal B. Is there any vibe at this stage of how it might go?
Well, I would believe, I wasn't talking to him this week, I was just chatting to him 2 or 3 weeks, and it's funny now because obviously I suppose you saw probably what happened on off the ball there. Mm-hmm. With the provincial councils, he said basically that he felt that the provincial councils would really obviously vote against it and would be pushing the different counties obviously to vote against it, and chant our own county board, you know, they've been very, very positive about Proposal B and listened to the players, like, you know, and that was part of
my remit as well as the GPA rep was to talk to County Board and the parents. They've been very, very good to listen to the players always, like, in fairness with regards to everything, you know, that relates to us. So they did say that the provincial council had been onto them trying to see what way they're voting. So it's just funny because I think the GPA probably are looking at it saying we're not overly confident, like, you know, we're still thinking we have a chance, but they know it's going to be close, I suppose. And I know it's very funny, like, it's very like Trump at the moment and Biden, you know, like the way counties are split and stuff like that. And the reality is the main votes are going to come from outside the country. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of votes come from England and Europe and America. I didn't realise it until I saw a breakdown of it. It's mad.
Yeah, no, it'll probably be a fascinating day tomorrow. Like, this is really, the whole debate has been very, very interesting. Be interesting to see how the result unfolds. Brian Fox, thanks for joining us on Across the Line.
Thanks very much, Ian.
Brian Fox there, looking ahead to Congress tomorrow. Very interesting. I know, I'm fully in favour of change. I just think that once the majority of players, they're the ones that have to play in this. They want the change, and you really hope that they get their way. And look, I would think it's not a perfect format, but I would think it's the best of what we're going. We need change. You're better off get a change now and then tweak it once it gets in there. And I suppose I really hope that that happens as well. And just one more fixture just to mention tomorrow in hurling. It's a big game for both Holy Cross and Holy Cross Ballycal and Roscrea. The county senior hurling relegation final that is in Templetuohy at 2:00. It's a game I'm going to be at tomorrow. Time for another break, and we'll be back in part three with ladies football. And you're welcome back to the show. And now we look ahead to ladies football. It's a big weekend in the local championships. We're down at semi-final stage, and I'm joined as ever by Tony Smith to look at the key games this weekend. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Shane.
Good to have you along, Tony. I suppose the big games start tonight, the intermediate championship semi-final in Ballyporeen at 7:00. It's Cappagh White up against Ardfinnan. Galtier Rovers are already waiting in the final, defeated Boherland Dwella last weekend. I suppose it's a game where you have Cappagh White, who came down from senior last year, and Ardfinnan, who came up from junior. So will it be a continuation of ships passing each other in the night? Ardfinnan going up, or Cappagh White maybe dropping? Or how are you looking at this game?
Sorry, I've just arrived in Ballyporeen, and it is going to be a very interesting game, because I've seen them play each other in the group stages, and Cappagh White won by a point. But then if you take a line through the last round of matches, and you saw that Cappagh White beat Galtee Rovers, who in turn had beaten Boland, who had beaten Ardfinnan by quite a distance in the last match. So on that form, it's all to say that, well, Cappagh White should win here tonight. But I think it's going to be a lot closer than that.
I suppose, like, they're both. I suppose Cappagh White will probably have the greater experience, but I suppose when they're I suppose dropping down from senior, and I suppose you're probably expected to win, but sometimes it might not happen.
True, and as you know, Cappagh White had a very poor season last year. They just had one match in senior, they got an awful beating, and it's very difficult then when you're in a situation like that to get yourself going again. But I think they've done quite well. They're a tough team to beat. I think there's more flair in the Ardfinnan team, but it's a question of tonight, have they enough to beat Cappagh White? And I just have a feeling that Cappagh White might edge it.
Yeah, it promises to be a fascinating game. I suppose the big ones this weekend are the two Senior A semi-finals. The first one is tomorrow in Golden at 3:00 between Mile Rovers and Aherlow. I suppose, look, no more than maybe Tipperary were beset by injury. I suppose, like, Aherlow, like, it looks like the Kennedy sisters might be available. Emma Morrissey is coming back from that ankle injury she sustained against Dublin in the National League. Is it too much to say maybe the injuries could be the decisive factor in this, with swinging in Mile Rovers' favour?
Well, I've seen both teams twice this season, and Emma Morrissey is in absolutely brilliant form. I'd say she's playing better than she ever did.
That's fantastic to hear her back, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the last day, Caitlin Kennedy went off after a few minutes against Commercials, but thankfully it's only a minor injury, yeah, and she's fitting well. Anna Rose didn't play that day, but I think she is going to be available tomorrow. So, like, when they have all their players, they're a very serious outfit. But having said that, I've seen Mile Rovers play twice this year, and Mile Rovers as a team are playing very well. I'd say the one failing they have is that it's converting the amount of possession they have into scores. They seem to take an awful long time to get the ball from their own half of the pitch into scoring positions, and then they end up taking shots from impossible angles. So if they can get their act together tomorrow, it could be very, very interesting.
Absolutely. And so the second semi-final is on Sunday in Bancha at 12 noon. It's Brian Boru's up against defending champions Care. Look, I think Care have done, I suppose, without Ashley Maloney and Ashley McCarthy, like a lot of teams would suffer there, but like they still have an awful lot of talent there. Can you see them maybe defending, whatever about tomorrow, can they defend the county championship without those two players, or how do you look at their chances this year?
It's going to be a very big aspect. 11 against commercials, and they were very impressive, I thought. And again, Ashley McCarthy didn't contribute something like 2 goals and 8 points that day. But they were very impressive in the same day. But I've also seen Brian Bruce twice, and Brian Bruce are the same old Brian Bruce as always. I mean, mm-hmm. the experienced players are still performing. A couple of younger players like Laura Morrissey and Keane Adair have stepped forward. And they're going to take some beating too, you know. But I'd slightly favour Brian Bruce just simply because of the absences of the two Ashlings.
Yeah, Ashley McCarthy has returned to Australia ahead of the AFLW season, so I suppose it is, there's no doubt, is a big loss. And I suppose another couple of key games, the Senior B semi-finals this weekend, it's Clonmel Commercial against Turles, Sarsfields and Littleton on Sunday at 4:30, as I can see there. And I'm just trying to find the other Senior B fixture.
Monday.
Oh, that's on Bank Holiday Monday, apologies, yeah. In Littleton at 3 o'clock. And Tony, before I'll let you go, just want to get your thoughts on the appointment of Peter Creedon as senior ladies football manager for the coming year. I suppose it's a very strong appointment, having a former inter-county manager with Tipperary and Laois at the helm of Tipperary.
Well, I think it's an excellent appointment. I mean, Peter, as you know, has had wonderful experience at this level with the men's game. He's also been involved with the Tip ladies at minor level for 3 years, and he knows these players extremely well. And I think he was an ideal choice to put in place.
Yeah, and I suppose, like, you look at how Meade sort of came from nowhere this year to win the All-Ireland. If Tipperary were able to get everybody, their best players on the field, like they probably would feel they're as good as Meade. And I suppose if there was one benefit this year from the fact that we're missing so many players, that they were forced to blood players, and a lot of those girls are experienced now, and there's a depth to the panel going forward.
There is, and we've been looking at other players as well that could really challenge for places on this panel. And we're in the situation at the moment where Meade were last year. I mean, Meade were starting off the year in Division 2 of the league, and obviously that's where we are. And in the ideal world, you'd love to get promoted, and you'd love to be challenging for the All-Ireland. We are obviously at a slight disadvantage in the league stages because obviously Ashley McCarthy and all of the world are really in Australia, and Ashley Maloney won't be available. But you'd still be hopeful that if you could come out of Division 2 and make a challenge for the championship, you'd never know.
Absolutely, I promise to be a fantastic, an interesting campaign for ladies footballers next year. But we have a lot of club action to get through over the next few weeks. Tony Smith, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thank you very much, Sean.
And it's time for our final break, and we'll be back in part four with local soccer and rugby fixtures and greyhound racing. And you're very welcome back to the show. And quickly, we'll just go through the local soccer fixtures in the TSNDL on Sunday in the Premier League. 4 games again at 12 o'clock. It's Cashel Town against Peak Villa, and 2 Marlborough against top of the table Clonmel Town. And then at 3 o'clock, it's Kerr Park against St Michael's, and Glengool United against Banjo Celtic. And in North Tipperary, we're heading to the business end of the Premier League. Big games in both the top and bottom of the table this Sunday. All games kicking off at 11:30. It's Ballymac at home to BT Harps, Barraway Rovers against the informed Nina Celtic, Clodagh Rangers against Borders again at 11:30, and also Moneygall against Loch Durgan. In rugby tonight, it's a free weekend in the All-Ireland League, but it's not for Cashel, who are taking on Gary Owen in the semi-finals of the Munster Senior Cup tonight in Dúra Dáil at 8 o'clock, and we wish them the best of luck. And as always on this time of a Friday night and across the line, it's time to talk dogs.
Tip FM's Greyhound Update, in association with Greyhound Racing Ireland, because this runs deep.
And as always, we have Barry Drake on the line to look ahead to the weekend's racing. Barry, welcome to the show.
Hi, Shane. Great to be on again.
Good to have you along, Barry. I suppose before we look ahead to the Laurels final tomorrow in Cork, as always, we have racing in Clonmel tonight and Turles tomorrow night. What is on the menu in both venues?
Yeah, so some great action to look forward to on the Tipperary scene over the course of the weekend. Obviously, Clonmel tonight, and just going back to last weekend, there was one real performance of note in Clonmel last Friday night, and it came from a very young greyhound who looks to have a big future ahead. That's Crafty Kokoro, go one in style. And it was a real likeable performance, and it gave the impression that she could be one of the stars of next year. So well worked following her, Cranky Kokoro. We'll talk more about her shortly. But as we said, as per normal, I should say, Clonmel tonight, 10 race car down for decision. And we've got some fabulous racing at the Clonmel track tonight. We'll start with race number 4, which is the opening heat of round 2 of the Explosive Boy Big Stake, which has a winner's prize of €1,500. And it's kindly sponsored by Peter Sutcliffe, of course. Explosive Boy won the big one in Clonmel a couple of months ago when he won the Prodigy Stakes. Graham Holland has been in tremendous form in Clonmel in recent weeks. We spoke highly of him over the last couple of weeks, and he can continue that great form tonight at Clonmel. He can take race number 4 with Clahine Lass, who's owned by the Farron and Away Syndicate in Burncourt, trained by Golden trainer Graham Holland. This one was a really impressive winner in the opening round when she produced a 28-58 winning performance. And going on that, she should make it 2 wins from 2 career starts. While on to race number 7, this is heat number 3, and this can go the way of trap number 2, Hillview Queen, for new in trainer Owen McKenna. Another one to star in the opening round, 28-76 last week. She can follow up by taking that race. And finally, in terms of Clonmel tonight, Crafty Kokoro, the greyhound we spoke about there just when we started, another really, really exciting greyhound. She won by 9 lengths on debut last week. She set the standard, 28-42 winning performance. And as I said, she looks one of the stars of the future, and she can extend her unbeaten run and make it 2 from 2 in Clonmel tonight. But as I said, some really good action to look forward to getting underway at 7:30, Shane.
And tomorrow night in Thurles, the regular Saturday night card, what is the feature race there?
Yeah, 10 race card to look forward to in Thurles tomorrow night, 7:35 start. A couple of really good graded races down for decision. I like a greyhound in the second semi-final of the Sean Byrne Painting and Decorating A1-A2 stake, which has €1,000 to the winner. I thought trap number 1 would be hard to beat here. Knock Alton Connor, who's owned by Stephanie Ryan in Tipperary and trained by John Byrne. It was a winner 2 starts ago in 29-10, and I thought it ran very well from a tough draw on trap number 5 last time. Back on the inside of the track, I think that one can record a 10th career victory. While in race number 10, it's an A5 contest here, and we can keep an eye on trap number 5 here, Boharash Michael, for the Leonard Hanrahan Kennel in Cork. An unusual trip to Thurles for Leonard Hanrahan, a man that has done extremely well around the Yall track and Curraheen Park track in Cork. So making the trip to Thurles, I would expect this greyhound is above average and should go very close there in the 10th of the night, which of course is an A5 contest. So as I said, some really good action in Clonmel and Thurles tomorrow night, but all eyes will be on the big prize below in Cork, Shane.
Yeah, the final of the Irish Laurels in Curraheen Park tomorrow night, one of the classics on the greyhound scene. And Tipperary against strong-handed, I think is there 5 runners in it?
That's
suppose.
Right,
Owen McKenna probably going for a double with the Derby and Laurels double with Droopy's Gold, but he's some strong challengers in this race.
Yeah, he sure does. Look, as you said, 5 greyhounds in the final for Tipperary. Golden base trainer Graham Holland will be, you know, chasing, I think it's a 5th Laurel success. He's enjoyed some fabulous success below in the classic in Cork, and Sweet the Yard will start as an outsider in trap number 6, but you couldn't rule him out. Another trainer based near Golden, of course, is Thomas O'Donovan. He's got 2 in the final, one time only, running from trap number 1. That greyhound returned to top form and winning last week. And Epic Hero, who won the Ledger at Limerick last year. As you said, Droopy's good for new in trainer Owen McKenna. That would be quite a story if he could pull out another classic in Cork on Saturday night. You have Skywalker Barry for young trainer Mark O'Donovan and Tipperary. But the one they all have to beat is Ballymac Fair one. Can Liam Dowling, the Kerry master trainer, spoil the Tipperary party on Saturday night? He'll start as one of the leading fancies. Possibly will just go off favourite, I think, on the night. And a narrow vote does go to Ballymac Fair one. But I think it's one of the most open classics I've seen in recent times, Shane, and it's going to be really, really hard to predict the winner. It's going to take some winning. I think whatever can get out in front in this race will certainly go on and win the prize, because the 6 greyhounds like to apply front-running tactics, so that all-important run to the bin could prove key on Saturday night. But look, it's going to be a night to remember, I'm sure, once again in Curraheen Park on Saturday night. They always come out. The Greyhound supporters from all over the country always come along and support this big one, the calendar in Cork. We've got some really passionate Greyhound people in Cork, and I'm very much looking forward. But if you can't make it, you can watch all the action live on Racing Post Greyhound TV from 7 o'clock. And as I said, it's going to be another special night at the Cork track.
Absolutely. A big night again for Tipperary Dogs in one of the Irish Classics. Barry Drake, thanks for joining us on the show.
Thanks very much, Shane.
Sorry, that jingle means it's time it's the end of another Across the Line. Thanks to my producer, Michael Brophy. I'll be back next Friday evening at 6 for another edition of Across the Line. After the news, it's the final edition of Shades of Green with Dan Kennedy. Bye for now.